Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hardman Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's LMN Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, the post office, a Dan Neen tribute, and This Week in History. To try and give you a taste of this and some of the other news that has been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by Newshound's Jess Ward.
Hello.
And Sam Turton.
Hello.
Plus Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener, who is back again, like a boomerang.
Yep, coming back. Hello.
How was your trip in Rome?
It was amazing. And I just want to say, one, we did receive Sam's postcard.
Oh, exciting.
Have you not seen it?
A week after I come back.
No. Okay, the postcard is in the kitchen now.
Okay,
if you see.
Right. I'll have a look.
It basically says...
I'll just go now.
It says, like, Dear Katie Kitchener.
I bet I'm back before this is because I don't trust the postal system.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not the Manx postal system, and of course. Or Her Majesty's Royal Postal System.
It was the Spanish postal
system. It was more specifically where I was, because it was in a very small part of, like, northern... Where'd I go? Mallorca. And it was, like, this little cove, which was basically just all controlled by one company, and there was one postbox, and I was like, I can't see this getting there, but we'll try.
Well, it did, though.
And it did.
It did.
It's in the kitchen. It looks like he really didn't put much effort into writing the postcard. But we appreciate the gesture.
Yeah.
But, and also, I did listen to last week's podcast.
Yeah.
Because I sent a postcard.
All right.
It's a beautiful postcard. It's not arrived yet. And I didn't realise, but there's quite a lot of Bible verse on the back of it. And I couldn't actually write a message very easily. And I drank quite a bit at this point. I was very sunburnt because the weather forecast was completely wrong. And so mine does not make that much sense.
I'm so looking forward to that.
Do you think it's weird, though? Like, everything else in the world has seemed to have advanced with time. You know, you can get stuff instantly and everything like that. But the postal service still seems to run, generally, if you're posting something from abroad, as you say, it still seems to run on its own.
Yeah.
But do you not like the build-up?
No.
It's been a week now.
What annoys me is I can order headphones from China that will turn up in 5 days. I send a postcard from Spain and it takes 10 days.
But there is something very special about
I love getting
receiving
post.
A postcard.
Yeah, or a postcard. Or I especially love postcards with donkeys on them. They're my favourite kind of postcard.
Well, if anyone wants to send Katie a picture of a donkey, or did it... them on a donkey, they can do that, can't they? Because they can just send us a little bit of mail. I'll just flip by through my script. If we go to IOM News Podcast, IOM Newspapers, European House, Peel Road, Douglas, IM1 5ED for all you postcode fans, and hopefully they'll arrive within 10 days.
I will be overjoyed.
Day made.
Week made.
A week
Come
made.
Come on, guys, yeah. Don't let her down.
Talking weeks, Jess, you had a good week?
Yeah, it's been really good. I've managed to get out of the office and speak to quite a few people about TT, which has just been an absolute treat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so some of that stuff is going to be out in the Examiner next week.
Fantastic. Katie, good week? Oh, obviously, you came back to work, so that's always a bit of a downer, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, there's always the next holiday to look forward to, but the week's been good.
Yeah.
Are we giving it 20 minutes or so, then?
Yeah, when is your next trip?
I think it's about 2 weeks' time.
Where are you going now?
Well, I'm going to London twice in 1 week because I really don't understand dates very well and I don't have money to stay there for that long, so I'm going over twice.
So is it cheaper to fly back and then fly home?
It is, yeah. Wow. Well, because the friends I'm going to stay with on the weekend when I'm there, I can't stay at hers during the week because her mum's visiting for a Bon Jovi show.
Amazing.
Sam, good week. You look as bemused as I am.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I don't think I can top that, really. I mean, I've had an interesting day.
Yeah.
I was down.
You do look a bit dishevelled.
I was rock climbing and...
What? Do you want to tell people why you were rock climbing?
Well, there was a picture on Facebook about the pool of water at Growdle, which got a very bizarre colour, which we believe... was because of the algae just happened to bloom at that moment, combined with the heat of everything that went on at the same time, so it just went like that. We're waiting for confirmation on that, hopefully have it by next week, of what's going on there. So I went down to have a look at it, and ended up climbing down the rocks to go see it. Halfway back up it, I was going, this used to be a lot easier when I was 13, but there we go, time has passed.
Wasn't there like a rumour that something... like a dolphin had.
Yeah, I couldn't see anything, but no. I wasn't going.
You had a good ferret round, yeah.
Did you go for a swim?
No, I didn't.
What colour is it gone?
It went right. Imagine if you like knocked over a lava lamp.
What colour lava lamp?
That was the sound effect of a lot of like an orange rusty one.
Right.
I don't know why you'd have
like
one
pure
that
pure 70s.
Yeah. So like it just went this weird colour. I put the pictures on Twitter for it all to see, and it's quite bizarre.
Okay, well, have a look at Sam's.
What a day for you.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I went to look at a wall. I mean, wall up at Nobles Park where they've knocked through at the church to get the car park out of the TT.
Oh, and they say this job is dull.
Yeah, exactly.
So talking of post office, Sam, you've given us your rundown on the Majorcan mail service, but you did a story in the Examiner this week about the local post service, didn't you?
No, Paul Speller did.
Well, you're going to tell us about it.
I'll tell you about it. So it was a bit of a weird one. It was Mays Timbleton. They were talking about the post office, and questions arose about its future. As we all know, last year they lost 1.5 million, I believe it was, for 17-18. And there's currently a debate going on about how this is going to be sustained in the future. And obviously, we can't carry on having the postal service lose that amount of money in 1 year, in every year. So what they looked at was, they were talking about the focus groups that have been set up to discuss what potential ways could be fixing the post office, essentially. And it was a weird one because the chairman of the post office, Julie Edge, who's on MHK, was there.
Mm-hmm.
However, the vice chair, Sven-Jørgen Hansen, was...
Bob. Sorry, I had to do that. I know this is a serious news,
so
but...
So mature.
So vice chair, Sven-Jørgen Hansen, was actually the one answering the questions. And she was advising on what was discussed at these groups. However, Laurie Hooper-Ramsey, MHK, said that he'd been told that it was a suggestion of a £47 increase in rates for everybody on the island.
Wow.
To cover the loss. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think we should be retaining a postal service, but I'm not paying 50 quid a year for it.
No.
I mean, I'm quite happy to, you know, send post and that sort of thing, but I don't really think that's ever going to go anywhere. So she said she didn't know what he was talking about, she wasn't there. So, and this kept going on, these questions, until eventually, in a very bizarre sort of way of doing things, she suggested that perhaps he might consider coming in and speaking to the board or the executive before putting forward questions either in this place or in another place. That, for the uneducated, is how Tim Wood has referred to as this place, the House Keys is the other place.
Right.
And similar, whatever court you're in, it's the other place. However, the president, Steve Roden, who doesn't normally get involved in debates, he's not, I wouldn't say he's a passive, but he respects the role to allow debates to continue around him. He said that it was perfectly plain that it's the absolute right of members of Tim Wood to put questions in this place, quite irrespective of whether they may not be going to the department ahead of time. That is their right, that's what they're here for. And it just seemed like a weird one, because the whole point of this was to try and sort of gauge where the post office is going. And it dissolved into the two members of the board who were present having a bit of a row with people, including their own sponsoring department. There's a bit where Julie Edge said, she said that the sponsoring department, which is the Department for Enterprise, had suggested cutting down postal to a 3 day week as opposed to the 5 day week, which it is going to become under the agreement that was done between the Postal Workers Union and, no, Communication Workers Union, sorry, and Post Office. Then Lauren Skelly, who's the minister of that department, stood up and said, "We never said that." And it was just a very bizarre. I mean, it's on, you can read it in the paper there, of course, it was in the Examiner on page 12. And I think it's worth listening to the whole debate online at Tim Wood Live. If you go and listen to that again, it's a very interesting question session. But Paul's written up fantastically in the Examiner. If you haven't got time for that, he's managed to break down what was quite a long question in the end to this. And it's well worth a read, because it is one of the weirdest ones I've read all week.
That's coming from Sam's. It's Sam's weird political story of the week, yeah?
Yeah.
Right, okay, there you go. Jess, it's TT, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I read you've done a lovely story this week in the Manx Independent, and it's about Dan Neen, who of course lost his life in last year's TT, and his little 9-year-old cousin Billy, who's doing his own tribute towards him this year, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right. So Billy Neen, he's the second cousin of Dan Neen, and he absolutely idolised his older cousin. So he is now doing a tribute for him by cycling the Heritage Trail. So that's from Douglas to Peel and back. And so he's going to be doing that with his friends and anybody else who would like to take part, just to raise money towards the new charity that's been set up in memory of Dan Neen. And that's called the Dan Neen Charitable Fund, which is actually having its first ball in November. And so we've got more details on that if you would like to find out about this. It's a 14-lot ball. So I think they're doing 14, whether they're putting 14
big
items up for auction.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can read more on page 3 in the Independent about that. But basically, Billy, I went to his house, and he's absolutely, you just tell he's got so much respect for Dan. He's got photos everywhere. He's got his T-shirt, and he said he just absolutely loved how whenever he went down to the paddock, Dan would get him onto his bike, and yeah, it's just really lovely, actually. Yeah, so they're going to be meeting at the Quarter Bridge on Sunday the 9th at 10 o'clock in the morning. Billy's going to give some nice words about Dan, and then they're going to set off and have a nice break, probably an ice cream at Davison's and Peel, and then on the way back.
So you can you sponsor him? Or is
it... Yeah, so they're doing it through just you turn up on the day and just donate into buckets, because they say that they'd rather do that than go through like a GoFundMe page, which actually takes some of those donations as well. So yeah, if you want to donate, you can go down and speak to his mum, Sarah. Yeah, just do it that way and show some support.
And the charity itself has been set up to help other aspiring Manx motorsport stars.
Yeah, that's it. So his partner, Leanne Harper, she said that it's basically just helping those charities who helped Dan, because whenever he was getting off and on the island for other competitions, it was quite a struggle, according to his family. So they're just wanting to give something back, and they said it's a pleasure to be able to give something back, have that opportunity. And also they're looking to fund one, I think it's a Manx motorcyclist a year for that as well.
Yeah, to help with their ongoing costs, I'm sure.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
This leads perfectly into the sports story of the week, which of course is the TT. Well, and it has been a bit of a damp and soggy start, to say the least, I think.
Oh, yes.
We've had three or four postponements for qualifying sessions already this season, making it a very disjointed start to TT 2019. As we sit here, I've got my fingers crossed that qualifying goes ahead tonight, but again, the weather seems to have closed in again. So
it was getting nice towards lunchtime, and it was warming up, but now it's just
raised our hopes.
It really did.
It's come back down again.
But that's looking at doing that 6:20.
6:20 tonight, but there should be further practicing tomorrow, which is Friday, possibly in the afternoon. So keep an eye on that on our social media at IOM Sports Desk, and of course on the official TT accounts, just to see if there's this additional closed road closure, because they are running out of time to get qualified laps in. Racing is due to start Saturday, but having spoke to the Oracle, that is John Watterson, the educated guess on the sports desk is that racing will take place on Sunday and there'll be further qualifying on Saturday, because the weather, drumroll, is meant to improve on Saturday. So we should, from Saturday, have some nice weather, and race week itself should be nice and sunny. Maybe not as warm as last year when it was absolutely...
Nothing could beat last
scorcio
year.
Last year, wasn't it? So
it really was. It was amazing.
Was coming home. And
TT was coming home. Everything was coming home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like that was probably one of the best TTs ever.
Yeah, so it's been in contrast to the weather this year. And I think, as someone said the other day, we're paying for last year's good weather. You know, they're trying to divvy it out over the years. Right, this week in history, we go back to 2007, which of course was the TT centenary year for fact fans. And one of the pictures on the front of the Manx Independent of June the 1st that year is, of course, the TT reenactment picture special. There's a guy giving it the old hand up in the air, one hand on his handlebars on his very old-looking bike. But
that's what John Watson calls a modern.
When I was a lad. That isn't the main story, though, is it, Sam?
No. This is a fantastic one, actually. The front page has taken up...
Actually taken the headline.
Well, actually, it's a fantastic one. We'll get this put up on Twitter and that, because it is just quite weird how it's printed out. But this was the legends that are The Who playing the Peel Bay Festival.
It was 6,500 people flocked to the outskirts of Peel to watch The Who.
My goodness.
That night.
I can't even imagine that. Like,
And of course, Backdoor Slam with the support that evening.
Backdoor Slam.
Mad, that, isn't it? And I was talking to Adrian because he wrote this, and we had a legendary Manx photography, legend, I suppose. Yeah. John Madrill, he was doing the pictures that night, and they went to it, and they said it was just absolutely fantastic and brilliant. The whole thing about it, really. You know, 6,000 plus people in Peel, Bavaro Riley, We Won't Get Fooled Again, Pinball Wizard.
Yeah.
You just look and you go, what an unbelievable way for TT to go down. I mean,
there's some absolute great quotes from the band themselves. Pete Townsend, of course, is the guitarist, said, "I love this place. Now, if I had a pound, I'd say he probably says that at most gigs.
But they've referenced the Isle of Man in songs before.
Have they?
In Happy Jack. Happy Jack is a crab who lives in the sand on the Isle of Man.
Well, there you go.
Where's your Who knowledge?
That's amazing.
Who sort of passed me by, I'm not going to lie. I remember people getting very excited at the time in 2007.
I thought you were about to say back in the 60s.
Back in 2007.
What's funny is my dad remembers them playing in 1967.
He went
to see The Who in 1967.
Where did they play then?
It was Palace Lido, yeah. Palace Lido. He didn't actually get in, he was on the car park. They used to have it because the Palace Lido was massive, but you couldn't get it in. They've had times where the prom used to close because they couldn't get people in, and people just used to line up down into the street. So they have to close off the promenade because you just couldn't get cars up and down it, because the amount of people who would turn up to stand outside and hear what at the times. So you had pretty much everybody besides the Beatles played The Isle of Man.
Times have changed, though.
Hey, well, you say that. Busted are coming.
Oh, yeah, actually, that's a big
deal. We've all got tickets.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, not Andy. No. I don't think you were invited.
Because he's still working.
I quite like Year 3000, mm-hmm. but then not much has changed, and they lived underwater, didn't they? And then I thought, actually, you're not really a lyrical genius. Although, what is it, the drummer that's really good at cricket? Harry, is it?
One of them's got weird stuff.
He's from McFly, isn't he?
Well, it's funny you say that because look who was preparing for the Peel Bay Festival that year.
2007.
McFly!
See? No. Always thinking.
All these links.
Yeah, but I'm thinking there was Mick Busted at one point, wasn't
there? That was a supergroup.
Yeah, that was a supergroup then.
And they still
because there's the
no,
one
they
of Busted quit to be an emo, didn't he?
To be a what?
Emo. He formed that emo band, do you remember?
No.
Vaguely.
The eyebrows. Charlie left.
That's why I'm not going on Monday the 24th.
He's back.
And now it's this original lineup, Andy. Original lineup.
The other thing on the front page that week was for Opportunities in the Isle of Man 2007, which we very much is a sort of the precursor to the very popular Destination Isle of Man, Katie, which I believe the next edition of that's out soon.
I know, I was very excited when at the end, when you'll go, and what's everyone got coming up this week? And I'd be like, it's Destination is back on Tuesday in the Examiner.
Is it?
Yes.
Well, you can mention it again if you want to.
Yeah, I'll wait and go
is
on
Is there
about
anything
that
particularly interesting in it? This
It's always interesting, and it looks phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
As a
phenomenal.
Looks phenomenal. It's beautiful.
Phenomenal.
It's worth buying your Examiner just for that alone.
Really is.
Right, and anything else from 2007, Sam?
There was a weird one, actually. And it's Euromex, who are long departed
RIP.
Airline, right?
Yeah.
But it's just interesting. It's a £35 flight to Manchester. Bargain.
Bargain.
Baggage, £0.
What?
Total airfare, £35. But what got me was the middle. Catering. £0. I was like, what?
Do you reckon that's Sucky Sweets or something?
I don't know, I was thinking.
I never really remember getting food on Eurobanks.
No, they were the short flights, weren't they? But actually, I went to Paris on them once.
Did you?
I remember doing that trip.
Intentionally.
Yeah, they did. Like
I bet that wasn't £35.
No, they did. Went a trip to Paris. It's weird coming back and saying, I might have to go through passport control.
Well, I saw that the other day. If you come through on a domestic flight, I think obviously when the Geneva flight's on, I presume they have maybe someone down there, and you say there's passport control. But if you enter the Isle of Man and you're a foreign national, you're meant to go to Douglas and present your passport. I didn't know that. And I think that's quite a lot of emphasis on the person, really, isn't it?
Jess is just there going, how many times have I been backwards and forwards and not done that?
You got a Manx passport yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
I do.
Get out.
I'm sorry. I do need to get one, actually, and I can. I've been naturalised. I had to pay £1,000 for it.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
To be naturalised?
Yeah.
Who'd
I think
you
you've
to
been
pay
had
that,
that
money?
That's
to?
A scam.
I think so, yeah.
Was it a bloke in a pub? Yeah. He would naturalise.
Do a little dodgy deal.
What does it take
there?
To be naturalised in the island?
So first I had to pass my Life in the Islands in UK test.
Oh, I wouldn't pass that.
What were the questions?
Oh, they were awful. They're so niche. Like, it was about, like, UK artists and...
Pop artists?
No, like, as in...
Like, Banksy type.
No, people that you didn't really know. Like
Alfred Lord Tennyson wrote which well-known poem?
And then, yeah, it would be about, like, things in history. And then they had, like, about 10 questions to do with the Isle of Man. And I know one was about... I knew the answer was Deemsters. I think you had to come up with, like...
So did you get, like, a revision book? Is that GCSE?
Yeah, you really did,
oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I had, like...
Have you still got it?
I don't know. It might be in a bookcase somewhere.
I bet, because I reckon half
honestly,
of us would fail.
Yeah.
I reckon that's a whole podcast by itself.
It was awful. I only passed by one. I was 18 at the time. It was so stressful.
When did you do it?
I was 18.
18.
Yeah.
It shows how stupid our immigration system is.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it's there to test whether or not you understand English, but also if you understand the culture as well. And like, yeah, sure, New Zealand and the UK are quite different, but like, it's not.
I only ever got legal residency for Argentina. I never got full citizenship because I think there would have been a problem with keeping British passport. Mm. But I never had to do anything like that. And I'm terrible at remembering South American history facts.
The thing that stresses you out is because you had to just have such a huge range of knowledge about all sorts of like different subjects.
But, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I get the thing of like an English test, but why should you have to pay £1,000? And it's questions that I bet if we talked to the Oracle out there, John Watson, he wouldn't get them.
Oh, he would.
He would.
Well, probably,
he would.
Yeah, that's bad example. Exception.
Probably.
But yeah,
I'll
see if I can find it and bring that in.
That would be great stuff. Talking of Manx tests, it is of course time for the word of the week, Katie.
Yeah.
Maybe so, we could. This could become part of the Manx Citizen test that you have to listen to. The podcast and increase your Manx.
I've been through too much, guys. I don't need more.
Manx vocabulary. You've passed it now. You're through. It's like when they changed all the driving tests, so you had to do the theory and everything like that. Like, I'd already passed by that point. So I was like, yeah,
so it's like flying.
Yeah, whatever. So this week's word is Katie.
Okay, it's...
Right, I see you've given us the phonetics and the way it's to say it.
Yeah, I'm not telling you what it is.
KL! Sounds like a... song from popular American combination.
Outcast. Yes. Were you about to say yeah. Atlanta Superstars
yeah.
Outcast?
Yeah.
I thought you sounded like a Manx person saying kale.
Kale.
Oh.
That's Manx person saying kale. K-Al.
K-Al. I'd say keel.
No.
Oh, no.
Is that someone sneezing outside our
probably.
Cupboard?
I hope so.
I'd say Sial.
Well, wow, that's
what? So you're all so off.
Kaya.
Did you...
Well, Jeremy Kyle.
Okay, so she spelled it like key.
Kia.
K-E-Y, and then...
Kia.
Yeah, but then I put, but super fast, or maybe...
Sial. That's the closest. What?
Yeah,
Sial.
I honestly reckon.
Just pretend you're a TT bike.
Sial.
Kiol.
So Kiol. If you hadn't just said do a TT bike noise, we would have been there.
Yeah.
Kiol.
Is that what it means? Does it mean fast or like motorbike or something?
No.
Ah.
Take it back, yow. Right, let's see what the Culture Vannon lads and how they say it, how to say it properly.
Kjol.
Right, well, we're all, as you say, horrendously bad.
Didn't sound anything
one.
Like a motorbike.
No, it didn't. No.
Kjol.
Maybe a broken motorbike, but not a problem.
So,
did we have a Manx word last week?
No, you didn't.
Oh.
I could have given you an Italian one.
Okay.
Seeing as I'm convinced I can speak Italian, but I can't.
Do you have a favourite Italian word?
Yes, but it's a bad word.
Oh. Do you have a favourite non-bad Italian word?
Or just one that you would like to share?
No, I actually... The hotel we were staying at, the Belgian embassy was across the road, and there were these soldiers there that would just be there all day, just doing nothing. Guarding the embassy, keeping the Belgian embassy safe.
They have an army?
Mm. Yes, they do.
I thought it was one of them pacifist countries.
No,
it's not. But I liked every day when I left to go out for dinner in the evening, I'd be like, buona sera.
What does that mean?
It's just good evening. Good afternoon.
I thought it was.
Buona sera.
But I get proper into it and I have hand gestures and I'm a bit OTT.
How's your Flemish?
I don't know any Flemish.
No, I thought you might have been practicing that with the Belgians. Flemish, one of the biggest languages in Belgium, isn't it?
It is one of the three big languages in Belgium, but I didn't.
Next week, that's a challenge for next week. You did meet a Belgian.
I didn't. I just just the Italians.
Well, I presume the soldiers were Belgian.
No, they were Italian.
Why would the Italians be guarding the Belgian embassy?
Because I guess they were Italian because there was a lot. I don't think there was such a Belgian army presence through the whole of Rome.
Well, quite a lot of countries.
Well, there's a Swiss.
But if they're living in Italy, then surely not Italian.
There was soldiers. It's probably going to be, why is she speaking Italian to us then? But no, there was Italians outside. And then there was Italians at, like, you go to the Trevi Fountain or wherever, and there's army presence everywhere.
Mm.
Just keeping the people safe.
I think we need to email the Belgian...
Oh, God.
Belgian embassy in
Rome.
The
Japanese government haven't got back to me yet about offering the emperor a state visit.
Did I tell you about the time I rang the North Korean embassy in Enfield?
No.
That's too long a story for this podcast.
Is that the one that's a semi-detached house?
I rang them about something. Right, let's move on. If you want to get in touch throughout the week, Jess, how could people do that?
Yes, so they can contact us via Instagram or Twitter at IOM News Podcast.
Correct, Amundo.
Check, got that
check.
If they want to contact our news hounds, send us something there. They can go to newsdesk@iomtoday.co.in.
With an email.
That's the email, yes. Yep. Or they can call us on 01624 695 695.
Living in hope of a caller that needs that extra.
Fingers crossed.
5 digits, aren't we? Katie, so you say Destinations are out next week?
Yep, so the Tuesday, 4th of June, the Examiner is going to have Destination Isle of Man, which is a beautiful broadsheet supplement which comes out to encourage people to live on the Isle of Man and everything great we have on offer here. And if you've never seen it before, you can go on our website, iomtoday.co.im, click on digital editions, you'll be able to find some past editions and see what it's about. But yeah, Tuesday the new edition is out, and I suggest you race down to your local shop and buy a copy of The Examiner.
Is it fair to say, if you were a big fan of Opportunities in the Isle of Man 2007, you would probably enjoy...
I bet people who liked Opportunities in the Isle of Man 2007 were just beside themselves in happiness when Destination Isle of Man came out last year.
Desi, as it's known to its friends.
That's not the only product, because you've also got your TT News.
Yeah, apparently. I've been working, yeah.
TT News. If you do want to subscribe to TT News...
Please do.
Just get in touch with us at
katie.kitchener@iomtoday.co.im.
And I can tell you what's on offer.
Digital editions aren't though, isn't it? If you go onto my third favourite tab on iomtoday.com, which is
digital editions.
TT News 1's there, isn't it?
It's there. Looking all TT News-esque. Yeah,
with its leather jacket on.
Exactly.
£2. Amazing. Jess, what's on next week?
Yes, so today I went and spoke to the people at campsite at the Douglas Rugby Club.
Okay, Port Sheet.
Yep, so that's for the public opinion piece, asking campers how they're dealing with the cold and wet and windy conditions. But when I was there, I met up with, there was a German guy, and he told me how his motorcycle had been stolen in Liverpool.
Oh.
So we've got a story that's coming out in The Courier.
So, wow, okay, so that's interesting. So did he have to come over on foot without the bike?
Well, luckily he's with his friend who has a motorcycle, but I think they just got on the boat. Just
God, how horrible.
No, he saw it all before his eyes, so... Yeah.
What?
That's shocking.
A very intriguing story. And so that's in The Courier, of course, is available as a free digital edition.
You can go on at like 6 a.m. tomorrow.
Right.
You're desperate for your Manx news. It's there. Digital editions.
Courier. Or anyone sat down at the Quarter Bridge, they can pop in and get them from reception.
Correct.
Yes, but, after 9 when we open. Nine, not at 6 in the morning.
No. Well, you won't be sat at the Quarter Bridge at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Some people have strange habits.
But the story that I'm most looking forward to is I'm going to be joining 2 police officers, and I'm going to get an insight of what it's going to be like from their perspective patrolling Douglas streets, I suppose, during TT.
What?
I'm going to be even on a little electric bike with them.
PC Ward.
PC Ward?
Yeah.
Well, it's usually on PC Ward. But yes. wow. Okay, so we're looking forward. That's going to be one of the papers next week.
Yeah,
are we going to have any sort of multimedia videos from it? Maybe a vlog or some sort?
The opportunity's there, so.
Can you do a lot of boomerangs on our Instagram stories?
I will have all of the boomerangs.
Katie, of course, we've mentioned Destination, we've mentioned TT News. Anything else exciting happening in the world of sales and distributions?
It's a lot of TT News at the moment. With, you know, trying to get all the editions out to subscribers. So we have edition 2 is coming out this weekend.
It is, hopefully, fingers crossed, if there's actually some racing. And the weather is... plays ball. Now, presuming you've recovered from your Ray Mears type adventures this afternoon, what have you got coming up this next week?
Well, I'm off to Liverpool tomorrow to watch Champions League final, so that could determine what mood I'm in for next week.
Or whether we see you next week.
I'm not making any promises. What have I got coming up? I've got Saddle Mews Residents Association, who are looking at taking over the freehold of the land that they live on.
Ooh.
After, of course, the company 4 Seasons went into administration. We've covered that a few weeks ago, but we've got more in depth on what's actually happening from their point of view. And I've also, I'm off to go see a chap about having the 8th greatest beard in the world.
A Garibaldi beard.
Just a biscuit.
Yeah, I've learned.
Garibaldi, Google him. He was a freedom fighter in Italy. Yes. One of the first, 1860s. Top man. Right, you should have learned lots today. If you didn't, I apologise. That concludes the podcast. if you want to get in touch throughout the week and fact check all our
only facts, professional in this thing
at IOM News Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, of course. And until next week, if we all survive the week, our busiest week of the year.
Bye for now.